will think, well, there's Phyllis sitting over there in the crowd, and she's happy, and she's good, but she's under repair. And so she had surgery last week and still under repair for that. And so we are thankful that she's healing well, and Lord willing, she'll be back with us next week. Okay, good. All right, good. All right. And good. And I'm glad you're here. There was a case, I don't know if you've heard about it, that went up to the Supreme Court. Actually, a man filed an injunction using the ACLU for his lawyers. He said, look, all the Christians have their holidays, Christmas, Easter, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. But atheists don't get a holiday. I want an atheistic holiday. I want a day when we can celebrate atheists. And so the judge took a look at the writ that was before him, and he, without even having this go to court, he said, look, I just refuse to take this court to court because atheists already have a holiday. He said, really? What day is that? April Fool's Day. In the Psalms, chapter 14, the verse starts out with that very thing. It says, only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool. Do we have any fools here today? Raise your hand. Only one person willing to admit they're a fool. And I didn't think anyone would admit that they were a fool, but carry on. We're not talking about someone who doesn't have the ability to think and reason. We're not talking about some simpleton, someone who cannot grasp the concept of God or the concepts given to him. Those people we might consider foolish. Those people who are very naive because they can't, you know, connect the dots on a plan or what you're saying, and they might give a really lame answer, and those aren't the people that we're talking about. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. When the Bible talks about fool, he's talking about educated individuals. He'd be talking about people who knows the difference between right and wrong, right and left, one foot in front of the other. He's talking about people who would have PhDs, master's degrees, doctorate degrees, degrees upon degrees, people that are just the smart people. There, I saw last night very quickly on the news or on some program about this fella who is a scientist turned chef, and he has turned a 27,000-foot kitchen into a laboratory for food, and he prepares food in such an elaborate way that you and I could not duplicate that anywhere in any of the kitchens here in Pinellas. I mean, he uses centrifuges. He uses nitrogen. He uses a lot of different things to prepare his food. And when you taste it, evidently it tastes okay. They're even making pea butter. Have you ever heard of pea butter? I've never heard of pea butter. Green stuff you put in a tube and you squeeze it on stuff. They're making pea butter. Evidently it tastes good. We're talking about guys like that, guys who sent the rockets to the moon, the shuttles to the space station, with the abilities to put the space station and keep it in order and keep it in living condition. We're talking about really smart dudes and dudesses, okay? Smart people. The fool, the smart ones, the ones able to comprehend, says in his heart, there is no God. It isn't that he says, well, I believe that there is a God. He could. He could say with his lips, I believe there's a God. In fact, 94% of Americans, when polled by, it's not Barna, Gallup poll, the Gallup poll said, 94% of Americans said they believed in God. Well, that's amazing. And if you believe in God, doesn't that count for something? 94% of America believes in God. So that's got to be pretty good, right? Wrong. You see, there's one thing about believing in God, and there's another thing about knowing God. You see, I think many people in churches across America today believe there is a God. But I believe that there is almost a majority of people in churches today, yes, even Southern Baptist churches today, that believe there is a God, but do not have a relationship with Him. Or they believe in baptism, they believe in salvation, they believe that Jesus is who He was. But I believe that there are a lot of Christian atheists. You see, it's good for me to be able to rail against the atheists, against the people who say there is no God. And I can call them a fool because the Bible calls them a fool. I can go down and I can read in the verses next, 14 verse 2. And the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. For He says, all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn that those who devour My people as men eat bread and who do not call on the name of the Lord, there they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of His people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. You see, it's easy to say those people are not just fools, they're stupid. What is not to believe about God? In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, you would read things that God says, I have made Myself known within the universe. You see, I think you have to have a lot more faith to believe in evolution than you do to believe in God. It's easier for me to say, at some point, this earth began. Some say millions of years ago. I believe in a much younger earth, much significantly younger earth. I believe that when God made heaven and earth, He did so in 7 days. 24-hour days, not 7 days of eons so something could evolve. I believe that when the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, I believe that was a 24-hour day. And on the second day, He says, in the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I know that you're thinking back there, how can God then make something so old in 7 days? Doesn't have to have time to kind of grow and mature and come about? And I want to say, no. If I believe that God can make the world, establish the universe, then I also believe that He can do so in any length of time He wants. Could he have taken millions of years? Sure. Did He? No. I believe God said morning, evening, morning, first day. But what happened then? God created it with age. You've heard me say this before, those of you who come regularly. When a mountain grew tall and God brought up the upheavals of the sea and divided the lands and he brought about the mountains, God created those mountains that looked hundreds, thousands of years old. When Adam was created, I don't think that He created Adam as an infant. I think Adam from day one was a mature man. That when He created Eve, she was a mature woman. And they were naked and they were unashamed. But something drastically happened. Sin. And when they did, they saw that sin was making them ashamed to look at each other's body. And sin has crept into the world ever since. The universe has been torn down, eroded. Is the ozone layer thinner than it was a few thousand years ago or a few hundred years ago? Probably is. But God has it all under control. God will one day. Bless God. God will one day have a day that's perfect. Do you ever have a perfect day? I don't know. Maybe I've had one or two perfect days. But think about it. Have you ever had a day when you weren't afraid, a day when you were perfectly healthy and you could move and jump and you didn't suffer any pain and there weren't any fears in your life or insecurities? Did you have a mom and dad that loved you? And did you have a community in which you grew up and you survived and you lived and everything was fine and dandy? I mean, did you have those kind of days, perfect days? Did you ever have a day when you didn't have to really lock your doors and worry too much about someone breaking into your house? Would it have been in some of those days that you could go out in the evenings and not have to worry about someone mugging you? You go shopping to a mall and know that you would be perfectly safe. Remember those days? Those days are long gone. If you're not taking some kind of precaution with your identity or your getting to your car in a mall, you've got to really sharpen up your game, folks, because people are looking for people who are very unaware. You've got to bring about an awareness. Why? Because the world has just gotten more evil, or evil has allowed itself to become more and more prevalent. We've been able to broadcast it more. You see, it's easy to talk to these people who don't have God in their life. They're fools about God, because I can't imagine seeing this world and all of its beauty. I mean, how many shades of green are there really? Have you ever stopped to notice how many different shades of green? I mean, just in the plants, shiny leaves, dull leaves, some bright green, some are not so bright. I mean, how many different colors of reds are there? I see a lot of different color reds or oranges in the audience today. So much. God has created a world with variety. And you think that just happened? I don't think it just happened. I think it was designed. I think it was a purpose. But the man without God in his life thinks that just happened. And that you and I just happened. And that you and I are no better than animals. I've yet to see a monkey design a rocket or any other creature. People's minds are corrupt. The Bible says it. But my fear is this. We have believers. Because I'm talking to a church this morning of basically believers. And to give you a salvation message this morning, as I could out of this passage, would not necessarily be well served in this service. So here's what I want to remind you of. I want to remind you, excuse me just for a moment, Pastor Johnson, I think the family you're looking for is wandering around in the parking lot. So if you want to go round them up, that would be good. A little later in the service today, we're going to have a baby dedication, and Reverend Johnson is here to do that. He is the chaplain for the Largo Police Department, and so he's going to be performing that with one of his parishioners or one of the policemen there. So we're glad to have him here. So let me tell you about I'm really believe that there is someone here that is really knowing Christ, but living like a fool. By living like a fool, I mean this. We know Christ as our Savior, but we don't give Him any consideration whatsoever in our life about what we do. Well, let me give you... All right. Here's one thing I want. I don't have it yet. But how many have flat-screen TVs in your home? Just raise your hand. Don't be afraid to admit it. About half the congregation has flat-screen TVs in their home. Now, it could be that when you had a flat-screen TV in your home that you really needed a TV, or you just wanted something better. Any one of you folks have a Droid or an iPhone or one of those? Oh, boy, yeah, okay. Why is it those kids that are under 20 have one of those things, or look 20, okay, have those things, you know? because you want sometimes you just want the latest, newest gizmo coming down the world. Does anyone still have dial-up internet? See, oh, Myrtle, the only one to hold out. I knew that you would still have dial-up internet. Everyone else, here's what happens. Flat-screen TVs are not inexpensive, at least for me. So I want one. I don't have one. God's given me one that works, and so I keep the one I have. But it's just amazing. Well, let me think. Did you think about it before you bought it, or did you just buy it because you wanted it? You see, there's a difference. If you thought about it before you bought it, then that's a good thing. But if you bought it just because you wanted it, not so much a good thing. Why is this? Because they are a little spendy. I think that when we buy anything, large ticket items, house, cars, anything, why'd you buy it? I'll tell you what I'd like to have. I would love to have a pickup truck. My 20th anniversary is next year, and if you're ever wondering what to get me, I'll tell you privately what to get, but anyhow. If you buy the truck or you buy the device without giving a thought, how does this impact me and God? Where's my wealth going to? How am I expending it? You see, if we just give it and we buy it on impulse, which so many of us do, because I would almost think that half or better have credit card debt or borrowed equity on your home or trying to live a little above your means. I think if we sat back and we thought about those things, we'd act a whole lot differently. But you know what we do? We just go ahead and do it. We go ahead and expend the money without even giving any thought to it. How will this impact eternity? How could I have better use this money? Now, please, 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 please. I'm not bashing you. If you have new vehicles, if you have flat screen TV, that's not my case. If you have them, great. Enjoy them. I'm very, honestly very happy with you. I wish I could join your club one day. I want to do that. But when you spend it, are you giving any thought to what's going on in the kingdom of God? What about have you fed a hungry person? I mean, not just throw some cash out the window to someone standing on the roadside, but have you really sat down and maybe gone to a soup kitchen to feed? To work in that area? I know that when Melinda was working at the Shepherd Center, many folks in here, you responded overwhelmingly to meet their need on a vacation day, on a holiday day, to go out and help serve food for them. I know you have the heart to do it. But when we spend our money, do we really think, what is this? What's the impact? Or did we just spend it? Did we just make the decision because, well, I've got to have the newest, better, and best? When we begin to act like we can just go ahead and spend our money any way we want, then we just begin to say, I can get what's good, better, best, whenever I want it, because that's what I want, that's what I need. And when you've done that, you've just simply acknowledged that you are a Christian atheist. You see, really some forethought needs to go into those expenditures, because whatever you spend, remember, who does your money belong to? Really? Let's test. Everyone right now, really, no exceptions, everyone participate. Everyone take your wallet out. Everyone take your wallet where your money is. Come on, guys, stand up. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay? We're going to see. Okay? Kind of take a look inside. See what you have inside there, okay? Just you know, maybe grab one of those bills. I'm going to grab a one so that you know that I'm a preacher. Okay, there's one. Cheap joke. You pay me very well. Thank you. Here's the thing. Now, take it. Do you still have it in your hand? Okay, yeah, please have it in your hand. Now, pass it to someone who's not your family member. Give it to the next person, not your family member. Come on, everyone. Now you're getting nervous, aren't you? Now, I want... Come on up here, take it. All right. Now I want the ushers to get ready, and I want everyone to give as they would if money were no object, using what you have in your hands. Okay, you can give your wallets back to whoever you gave them to now. Now see, you believed, you had enough confidence in me that I would stop the ushers from coming and doing that. So I know. But you should see the looks on your faces when I said just even reach for your money. And who does your money belong to anyhow? God. Now let someone else pull the money out they would have liked to have given in the offering today, and your face is a... I mean, very few of you took your eyes off your money. Why is that a good visual? Because it lets you know how important money plays in our life. Are you a Christian atheist? It's all in knowing your God. There's a fellow by the name of Craig Groeschel. And let me read a portion of his book. It's called The Christian Atheist, by the way. So I picked it up because it was just kind of a neat little name. And let me just read a small section of his book, if you would. Most Bible historians agree that David also wrote Psalm 9:10, which says in reference to God, "Those who know your name will trust you. What do you call God? And the way you address him or refer to him just might reveal the depth of your intimacy or your lack of it. Let me illustrate. What you call me clearly reveals how well you know me, or whether you know me at all. My phone rings, I answer, you're on the other end, and you say, 'Good afternoon, Mr. Groeschel. I'd like to talk to you about your phone service.' I can tell one thing right away. You don't know me. You don't even know how to pronounce my name. Or my wife and I are at a restaurant, and I give the hostess my name while we're waiting for a table. After a few minutes, the hostess calls out, 'Groeschel, party of two.' And the hostess knows my name and how to pronounce it, but we've just met. We don't know each other. If you call me Pastor Greg, chances are you might know a little about me. You know what I do. Maybe you've heard me speak, or maybe you're familiar with some of my favorite topics and my upfront personality. But your use of my title doesn't mean that you know me personally. You might just call me Greg, and I'd usually assume that you know me even better. My friends call me Greg. We're close. But if you call me Grosh, that means we've been friends for a long time. It means we've got stories, and you've promised not to tell them on me," he says. "Grosh dates back at least 20 years, and there are those who possess the exclusive rights to a few specialized, far more intimate forms of address. And these are the six beautiful people, very dear to me, whom I allow to climb on my lap. They rub their hands on my face and say things like, 'You need to shave. And you're the best. Can I have some candy?' See, they call me Daddy. They know me so much better than even those who call me Grosh. The name reveals intimacy." How well do you know God? Are you on a first-name basis with God? You see, it's one thing to know God has a name. It's another thing to be able to call him by that name intimately. We've talked about calling God the guy upstairs, the big man, you know, the man in charge. We use those slang titles so cavalierly, and we don't attach a real meaning to it. Some of you trust God except when things go bad. And then you still believe there's a God, but your trust isn't so unwavering. So what's your relationship with God? See, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You can know that God exists, but not know God. You can believe that God exists, but not know Him. Tell me this morning, do you know that there is a God? Do you know if He exists? Is He your God? Christian, I'm talking to you. Is He your God? Is He the one with whom you long to spend time? Is He the one with whom you love to talk to every day? Is He the one who really has favor in your life? That He sets the priorities in your life? You ever watch TV? I know you do. Half of you admitted you have flat screen TV, so, and the rest of us don't, so I know you watch TV. One of the things I'll watch a show, and then the phone will ring. Don't you hate that when the phone rings? Sometimes I hate it when the phone rings. And I have caller ID when it pops up, so I know that when the phone rings, if it's a telemarketer, I'm not even answering it, not going close to it. But if it's one of you, I answer it. And you're welcome to call me any time of the day or night if you have a real need. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, it better be a real need, all right? Sometimes you answer the phone and it's that interruption. And they've told you about a heartache. You've told us about a story that our heart aches for you and bleeds for you. And that moment of relaxation in front of the television or with family has been broken temporarily because of a need within the church. And as a pastor, my heart bleeds with you when you're sad. My heart rejoices with you when you're happy. I want you to know one thing this morning, that I love you, and so does God. In fact, God sees everything you do. You believe that? Okay, I want you to repeat after me. God sees me. Okay, that was good. Now I want you to say it like you mean it. Okay? Everyone, sit up straight. Okay? Feet on the floor. And I want you to say in a good, healthy voice, God sees me. Oh, you see how much better that was? God sees me. Please understand one thing and remember that there isn't one place you can go or thing that you can do where the eyes of the Lord are not on you. The second verse, I shouldn't have closed my Bible so soon, but the second verse of Psalm 14 says something like this. One is, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But take a look at the second verse. We're now lifted from the foolish man to the King of Glory. When it says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men, He sees if there are any who understand, any who seek God. You see, all have turned aside. We have together become corrupt. And there is no one who does good, not even one. No one who does good, not even one, means this. I'm a sinner. And I needed a Savior. Why? Because no one does good. Sinning came very natural for me. Oh, I think it comes pretty natural for you too. I mean, if you've had children, you know that one of the words that you use most to that child is no or don't. Don't touch that. Don't go there. No, you cannot have this. No, you cannot do that. And you're trying to train them not to be in situations that will get them in trouble. God sees you wherever you're at. You know what he says? Don't go there. And you know what we do out of habit? Because it's habit. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I am now out of the habit of sinning. Oh, I wish that were so. If I were out of the habit of sinning, my wife would love me so much more. But in spite of me, she loves me. Because I would love her more because she's perfect in every way. Now, am I perfect in every way? Is my wife perfect in every way? Do you really know my wife? Someone said yes. Oh, my word. But you know what? We love each other in spite of our weaknesses. And where I am weak, she is strong. Where she is weak, I am strong. And together, we become one. That's the way it is with Christ. Christ takes a look at my weaknesses, and he loves me. And you know what? He has no weaknesses. Like that one voice that said, yes, she's perfect. So it is with God. He is perfect. He can lift you out of the most desperate of situations because God sees me. So I just want you to classify yourself this morning. Are you a fool or are you really a follower of Christ? A fool says, I know God, but I'm going to do what I want to do because it's my business. I give God, you know, an hour or two on Sunday, and that's good enough, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. The follower of Christ says, you know what? If the Lord interrupts me this afternoon with some kind of problem, as he does so often in our lives, and we go out and we meet that need, and we sacrifice for that person's need, and we try to help that person, then we know that we're a follower of Christ. Not because you do that, not because you think it gains you points, but because you do it out of love. You do it out of love. You minister to me out of love. I minister to you out of the same way, because God sees us. I'm not a fool. I'm a follower. I want you to classify yourself. Are you a fool or a follower? Here's what a follower does. In Psalm 42:1, it says, as the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Is that your life? If you were to die today, could they write that on your tombstone? Would they find that written in your Bible some way? Would your family know that that is what you truly live for? In my family, they will know that. Not because I've told them, but because I've shown them. Fool or follower? Father, today we thank you that we have a Savior who sees us and loves us. And I thank you that you have given us an opportunity to classify ourselves today, whether we're a fool or a follower. I want to be a follower of Christ all the days of my life. If that means long days and long life, then Father, that's it. If it means short days and shortness of life, then that's it. I just want to be a follower of Christ. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be timid. I want to follow wherever you lead. And I pray the same thing for the people here this morning, that they choose to be followers of Christ, no longer fools in their daily living, But they begin to count the cost of what they do with their time, how they spend their money, where they go, what their off-duty hours are, and what their recreation is spent in. Help us, Father, to know that You see us every moment. No place we can go that escapes Your eye. Thank You for the challenge You've given us today, my Father. And thank You for this little baby that can be dedicated in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in whose name I pray. Amen.